I'm getting set up here. I don't know if I've been more encouraged by the Spirit of the Lord than today. The confirmation through the songs that were chosen, all of the songs, every single one of them. What Melinda said, and if you were paying attention to the songs and what Melinda did talk about, you're going to find that it is exactly what the Lord gave me to speak today. And when that happens, I don't know how we can not realize that God is surely among us to love us, to speak to us, to guide us, to encourage us, to comfort us. He's all there for us. This is, to me, just an amazing thing. Kathy leaned over to me during the worship. She said, "Isn't this just the most anointed worship time?" I don't know how you guys felt. And, you know, people are in different spots, you know, and I guess I was just in that place because I was listening to what people were saying and the words and the songs that we were singing, and I kept nudging Kathy, and I said, "This is, you know, I pointed on my little note tab, my little note thing here, and showed her, well, this is the exact scripture that I'm using, and this was said, and then this, you know." So I don't know what that does for you. I know what it does for me. And you get a tremendous amount of encouragement that the God of the universe that we don't see, but do believe in. Though we don't see him, we love him. Isn't that what the scripture tells us?
Yes.
Right? And though we don't see him, there is evidence within our own hearts through the word, through standing in his presence when we're worshiping him and sensing his presence, that we know that he's here among us. And wow, we're talking about the God of the universe. Mm-hmm. Here. And I hope that you grab a hold. I think Dan said this, you know, it's been said, and Melinda said it too, you know, it's been said, are we going to take a hold of it? You know, do we really take a hold of it the way that we need to? And I pray that that we will today. Yesterday, I kept hearing a word over and over and over again. This is not going to be the subject of the message, but it got me going in the direction I needed to, and as you'll see, it has already been confirmed by some of the things that we've already been listening to. And that is the word fight. I just kept hearing that word, fight. Fight. You know, a deep thing. We're talking spiritual warfare. We're not talking about, you know, go up to that person you're upset with and punch them in the nose. We're not talking like that. We're talking about this internal battle that we are in, and it's because we have an enemy that wants to take us out. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And because of that,
Dan and I were having just before the service, exactly
the exact conversation. Now, when those kinds of things happen, at least for people that are having the conversations or having similar thoughts, you know, what does confirmation do to you? Hey, that was really God speaking to me, and that can be transferred to other people. Can it? Yes. By somebody speaking, right? The third song that we sang, that Glenn mentioned, he says, I was thinking about that song
this week, and I was really praying that the worship team would play that, and sure enough, here it is. And I felt the exact same way. This is one of my favorite songs, that particular song. It means something for you. You know, and when you're praying through the week and you're reading your word through the week, if we just see it as a duty or something, and or we read and we don't, there's no expectation, we don't usually get something. But you know, what happens during the week influences what you and I are going to get out of this service today. You know, we don't just walk in here and then God just blesses us. There's a preparation of heart that opens something up for us, for God to move. And the more that your heart is prepared because you've been seeking Him through the week, yeah, the easier it is for us to sense the presence of God. It is up to Him. He's sovereign. He moves as He wants to move. But you know what? It's easier for us to be aware of it when we're investing in Him through the week. Not just on a Sunday morning to come in here and open our hearts to God. But if this is a weekly, you're doing this through the week, your spirit, your heart is much more tender to the Spirit of God. It is. Okay. So, and there was a song, Fight. We have to fight to follow. You know, it's a fight, isn't it? It's a fight to wake up and turn toward God. It's a fight. Because there's an enemy who wants to keep us away. There's a flesh nature that is at enmity with God. It doesn't want to submit itself to God. Our flesh nature does not want to submit itself to God.
Perfect example of that, what you're saying, was this morning I had a panic attack. And I went downstairs and my husband spoke for Satan to leave away with you in the name of Jesus and blood of lion. And it went away.
It went away.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's standing on the promises, right? All right? I would like you to open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 12. Now, this happens to be, just a coincidence, all right? Just happens to be the scripture that Kathy chose to put into the bulletin. A scripture that God spoke to me in the morning that she and I didn't communicate over, and God gave her this scripture to put in as the scripture for this week's bulletin. And I want to read this because it connects so perfectly with the message, which, once I say what it is and we read this, you're going to go, oh, Melinda read that. Melinda said something concerning this. All right, now listen. Here's what it says. I'm going to start in verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is what? My strength and my song. And He also is my salvation. Hallelujah. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day, you will say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout.
shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. And Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, is in our midst right now. How do we know that? How do you know that?
If God said it.
Do you have to feel that?
No,
you don't have to. But you might. You might sense His presence. Or what else, how else do you know that Jesus, that God Himself is in our midst right now? How do you know that?
Because
He says it in the Word. What's it say?
Where two
or three are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. He is within. He's here. He's within us, and He's among us. That's an awesome thing to think about.
Yes.
We don't have to feel that, do we? Why? Because we're people of faith. We have enough evidence outside of feelings to know that what Jesus says is true, don't we? And we need to be encouraged in that. All right. So, but it says here that the Lord is my strength. What did Melinda read? What? Do you know where that was? I didn't write that scripture down. But it was Chronicles, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Steve, do you remember?
Second Chronicles, but I don't know.
Yeah. And I thought I heard it down here. What she said exactly. Oh, yeah. That God is strengthens those who are fully committed to Him.
That's right.
Alright?
Yes, it's. Isn't that the one for the eyes of the Lord move to
it? Yes.
Okay, that's 2 Chronicles 16.
Yeah.
9.
That's it. Yeah. Read that again.
For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His.
Amen. Amen. Now, Melinda said that she was feeling it strongly all through the week. I wonder why. Because what she had to say and what you're getting in a message is this very thing about being strong in the Lord. And I'll tell you, you know, when you're in a fight, you don't want to be weak. And we can be weak. And you know, stepping back can be a sign of weakness, can it? We want to be strong in the Lord. But guess what? We can't be strong. We don't have the ability in ourselves to be strong. We have to be strong in the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about today. That's what the message is on today. Ephesians, I'm not going to go to it, but Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And we're not strong in ourselves, we are strong in the Lord. Being strong in ourselves, we try to muster something up. We look for signs. We look for ways of proving something. And what I want to talk about here is in the spiritual battle, especially, we want to be people that move in the strength of the Lord. And what does that really mean? So that's what I'm going to go down through in a scriptural teaching here. So the first place I want you to go is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I hope that this sounds familiar to you. Because maybe 20 minutes ago, you heard these very words. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I think I'll start in verse 9. The point of it is in verse 10. All right, this is what it says. 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 9 and then 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, if we're going to be strong in the Lord, we're going to move in his strength. What does it say? His strength is what? Made perfect in weakness. What does that look like? We're going to talk about this. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in weaknesses, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, that sounds a little philosophical. When I am weak, that also sounds paradoxical. When I am weak, then I am strong. Now, what is Paul talking about here? When I am weak, then I am strong.
Surrender.
Yeah, because you know what this means? This means that a person who's going to move in the strength of the Lord, in the power of his might, is someone who first recognizes they're weak in themselves. But they can be strong in him. That's important, isn't it? Because you know why we don't, we always use the thing about praying for the kids, but that is part of it, but there's lots of other things too, where, you know, we look at ourselves, we look at our weaknesses, and we allow that to hold us back. Do you get this? Well, I can't talk like some other people can talk. So what? It was just like what both of the guys were encouraging to the kids and to the adults. You know, it doesn't have to be some flowery thing. Speak. Say, God, I want to step out here. You are in me. I want to glorify your name. And if I can speak something to the kids, let it come out. You know, you don't have to have it all figured out in your heads what you're going to pray for. I don't have to have it all figured out in my head what I'm going to speak to you right now. I'm trusting that God, if I step out and begin to speak, that he will move on my heart and my mind to fill in the blank places. Believe me, with me there's a lot of blanks. But isn't this true? And if it's true for one or two people, it's true for any one of us. This will release us from a bondage of fear, a bondage of let somebody else do it. Because you and I, we need to be more exercised in doing these little things, praying for people that we know and love, that we're very comfortable with. You're going to do that with people that you don't feel so comfortable with? Probably not. unless there's been an exercise of that. This is what God wants from every single one of us. To be able, to be willing, to step out and speak the love of Christ to people. And we all want to. But you know, we're not turning our faces toward the Lord when we have our face looking at ourselves. When we're looking at how people are going to think of us, what are they going to think about this, or how do I look? We need every single person that's in this room, and many more Christians, not relying on the pastors or on the deacons or on this particular office in the church or that particular office in the church. We need one another. Now this gets me to, I have another point in between here. You know, when you have turned your eyes upon Jesus, not just saying the words, but when you really put your eyes on Jesus, do you have peace in your heart? Do you?
Yes.
Do you trust in Christ?
Yes.
Do you have a sense of self-control and strength and faith? It's there, isn't it?
Yes.
When you're alone, what happens when we get in a mix like this? You know? We need to be a lot more relaxed than what we are. And you know what? We talk about this, and yet when things happen in church, I hope that more people get to be more volunteer-ish. Is that a word?
It goes along with
the other words that I said. That, All right. I'm just thinking about maybe I want to go here. Let's go here next. All right, let's go to John chapter 15. Gospel of John chapter 15. This first thing is that in 2 Corinthians 12:10, it's in our weakness that we're made strong, and that's because that only happens when we stop looking at ourselves and say, well, God can use me as he wants to, and I want to be willing, and I will step out there to do as God desires me to do, right? All right, here's another way that we're strong. You're in John chapter 15, and I'm not. Okay, here we go. So, in verse 4, it says this: Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch can't bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Now, you want to move in the Lord, you want to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, well, then we have to be abiding in him. What's the word abide mean?
Remain.
It means to remain in him. And what else does that mean? What's another way of saying it? Live. You live there. We dwell in the presence of God. Dwell in the presence of God. How does that look? How do we do this? Dwelling in in God, because it says that we can't do anything unless we're abiding in Him. Right? It goes on and says in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man doesn't abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Now, I want to say there's this thing about Him and us in Him. You know, if He is in us, we're saved. Because when we believe, the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit then comes and indwells in us, abides in us. This is like Jesus saying, you know, He knows us. If He doesn't know us, we're cast away. If you are a believer, He knows you. You might not know Him the way you need to or I need to, but if He knows me, if He knows you, you're saved. You're going to heaven. But see, there's this flip side to the coin that isn't talked about a lot. And that is, we have an opportunity to really get to know Him.
Amen.
To know Him. He knows us. He's in us. Now, how do we get to know Him? We have to be in Him. We have to abide in Him. Not just on Sunday morning. That's not abiding. That's visiting. And really, think about this. Most Christians have the Spirit of God in them, but they're not abiding in the Spirit. And we cast this off. You know, I can't be in the Spirit all the time. Why not? Why, Joe?
As you're talking, I'm listening, but it keeps coming back to me that we need to immerse ourselves in Him. So, in other words, like if you're in water, you're just covered solely.
Yeah.
So, that's how I look at it.
Okay, and what does that look like in terms of us and our lives? God wants us to step up here, people. Do you? I feel this. You talk about a challenge. God is challenging us to continue to press on toward the mark of the high calling. And not just in a hearing kind of way. It's time to say, you know what? I really do love you, God, and want to serve you more than I am. I want to know you more than I know you. Just like that song. I am desperate for you. Desperate. Are we?
Yes.
I find myself saying that and wanting that to be, but don't find myself there all every day like that. But I want to be like that. Don't you?
Yes.
And so I think God says, I have a group of people that in their hearts they want this. But and they need some encouragement. They need to be reminded that this is something that we have to reach out and take a hold of. God, show me how to keep my mind abiding in you. Keep my heart abiding in you. And maybe all of us, most of us, some of us, one of us, is actually doing that and not even realizing it. I mean, I don't know. But because I don't know, I've got to challenge myself to reach in more. What am I missing here, God? Because I am desperate for more than what I'm experiencing in you right now. I want more of you. Do you feel that way.
Yes.
See, and if you feel that way, then there needs to be something where we're crying out to the Lord for Him to give us the right kind of direction in this. Right?
Yes.
Now, if we're real with with ourselves and each other, there's a big holdback because of fear with the Spirit. If you're really submitting yourself to the Spirit, you're really surrendering. And one thing we don't like to do very much is feel like we're out of control.
Right.
And so there's a big fear of being out of control, and if you feel like you're out of control, then you feel like maybe other people are looking at you like you're weird,
yeah,
and you're strange.
Right.
So because of that, there's a big holdback, and we tend to push the Spirit kind of away because we don't want the Spirit to move in us the way that the Spirit wants to move in us, and that's a. That's something that's going on in the Christian churches all around us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a Christianity thing, right? I mean, we say we want to be in His Spirit, we want to act in His Spirit, but there's a big holdback because we know that there's a lack of control there a little bit. So if you're standing there and your hands are up in the air,
yeah,
and, you're in the Spirit at that moment, but then also at the same time you're thinking, is somebody looking at me right now? What are they thinking about me? Am I putting on a show? Am I doing this? Or am I being too spiritual?
Yeah.
Am I not being spiritual enough? I mean, it's a battlefield, and that's the fight right there. It's the fight. Is where do we surrender? How do we let that control go a little bit to allow the Spirit to actually do what it wants to do?
Yeah.
Then the fear goes away as you let the Spirit go and work through you.
Get that? We face this time and time again. The battlefield is our mind. The battlefield is the mind.
Lord, I just love You, and I know that You're in my heart, and I want to abide in You, Lord. And I thank You for that. I love You much. In Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's a picture of surrender right there. That's a good thing.
My wife's anxiety, I don't know if anyone's ever had an anxiety attack or ever had a major anxiety attack. Just sort of a lot of crying, a lot of carrying on, and a lot of wailing, and a lot of bad, bad emotions. She has learned a few years ago to get rid of them by asking God to take it away. Telling Him what she's supposed to do. She's the daughter of Jesus. He has given her authority. And it sounds pretty simple. It is.
No.
But it's not. If you have a problem that's that bad, you can't handle it. You ask God, as an adopted son, and His authority, not yours,
right,
you at all.
Right.
Except with Him. Now this morning, I didn't feel God. And here, didn't see Him. But instantly, she came in there, sobbing, and gave me a couple of hugs, and I immediately said, chase Satan away in the name of Jesus. And within a minute, she was smiling.
Yeah. Amen.
She's got a little more of this way, but it's usually taken a half an hour or an hour, or a lot of petting and a lot of hugging and a lot of praying and stuff. But this morning, it was instant. God, and you know me, I'm nothing but another human being, that He was there for my wife and for me. Not 2,000 years ago.
Right. Right now.
This morning.
Yes.
So, you want to believe in now, what He does for us every day. And a lot of things you just... It's all with luck. It's all with whatever. It's not whatever. If you're a Christian, you don't have luck. You have Jesus. If you're a heathen, then you have luck.
So this thing, I'm going to read the verse 8 here, but we're talking about abiding, dwelling, living there, and that requires some effort, that requires a sensitivity, and it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Now, we have to abide to be a disciple. We had a big talk at the pastor's meeting this past Wednesday about discipleship. And discipleship, I just want to say, it goes two ways. We disciple one another when the character of Christ is coming through you to somebody else. You're discipling without you even realizing it. Right? You're discipling when you correct somebody in the Lord. You're discipling somebody when you're discussing what the Word's all about. Right? Because we learn from what people, the different places people are coming from with the Word of God. Right? We disciple that way. But you know what? A person has to want to be discipled too.
That's right.
So when we come together, if somebody stands up here and encourages us to not be so afraid to reach into the Lord, and if we're sitting there going, well, who does he think he is? Why do I have to listen to that? You understand? Then you can't be discipled. I can't be discipled. If I'm sitting there and somebody else is standing up here and they bring something out of the Word, like Melinda, Melinda read out of 2 Chronicles, or somebody gives a word of encouragement. If I'm not willing to hear, at least hear, I mean, we do have to discern whether it's from the Lord or not. I'm not saying that. But if we just outright reject, how can we be discipled if we're not going to be receptive? So we have to at least be receptive, don't we? And we have to be discerning whether it's from the Lord or not.
Yes.
It's the only way we're going to grow. I couldn't wait when I was younger to grow up. Now I wish I was a kid. No responsibilities. Now, wouldn't it be nice? Around this one. Okay. So, if you would go to Romans chapter 12 right now, here's something that I found as I was getting this from the Lord. Very cool. Chapter Romans 12, verse 5 says this. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Now I want to tell you, we're in Christ when we fellowship with one another. So how can we move in the strength of the Lord? To be strong in Christ? Being around fellow believers. Don't you find that you can get encouraged by somebody else?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
You get examples of faith or grace or giving or whatever else, and you go, wow, I like that. And you get discipled.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
So, that makes us stronger. We're weak by ourselves, but we're strong together. There's a blessing in the cluster. Isn't there? So I thought that was a good point for us to remember. That's why we don't want to forsake the assembling of ourselves together if we can't help it. You know, we want to be there if we can be here. Because we need one another. That's part of being in Christ. Being one in the body. Right? Okay. Now, here's the other thing about being in Him. He's in us. We're saved. There's a aspect of being in Him because we're in His body. We are part of the church. We are born again. We're the saints. We've been set apart because we believe. And so there's an aspect of being in Him that way. But there's another aspect of being in Him that isn't talked about too much. And, I can't say that. But not as much as it should be. And I'd like you to go to Galatians chapter 5 right now. You doing okay? Everybody still with me? Your mind isn't wandering. The enemy hasn't been distracting you and getting you off somewhere else. You're paying attention.
Yeah.
Right? Galatians. Chapter 5. And it's verse 25. And it says this. If we live in the Spirit, you know, we have the Spirit of God. Right? Yes. We live in the Spirit. But guess what? If we live in the Spirit, let us also, which means that's not necessarily automatic, is it? Let us also walk in the Spirit. Yeah? There's choice involved, isn't there? Just because we live in the Spirit, because we have the Spirit of God living within us, doesn't mean that we're walking in the Spirit. We have to make choices day by day. Well, I don't have enough time to be thinking about that. You mean I've got to think about this all the time? Yes. Because in a moment, you can turn the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
You know, it's what Melinda was reading there. You know, here's Asa, and he calls out to God and gets deliverance from God in one respect, and then he doesn't do it the next time. Why not? And we're sitting there going, why did he not do that? We're sitting there Monday morning quarterbacking, you know? Oh, because we, as Christians, now that we've become Christians, we always turn to God. The heck we do. And that is the point of what I'm saying. Because you would say the same thing about yourself, except I bet you there were some people here saying, well, you can't. You can't always. Yeah, you can. It is possible. Am I doing it every single moment of my life? No. But I want to be in that attitude where it's just happening and I'm not even realizing it. It's going on.
Yeah.
And you can get there. But it isn't going to be just because, well, I'm in the Spirit now. You get there because your heart is tender toward God. You turn toward Jesus. Don't you? You turn to the Lord. And that was said. Turn to the Lord and look in His face. This isn't just words in a song or some little highfalutin Christian philosophy. This is what we should be doing. And we should be training ourselves and renewing our minds that we're turning to Christ more and more and more and more in our life. will have the strength to withstand the enemy when we're turning more and more toward Christ. Because we'll be moving in His strength and using the power of His might to withstand the barbs of the enemy. Yes?
Yes.
Here's another scripture I'm going to read. It's in Colossians, a couple, three books later. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Says this, just to show you that, you know, there's something beyond. You know, there's something beyond living in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. Guess what it says here? As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Walking in Him in this regard means you're actually putting something into motion in your life. I'm taking steps of faith. I'm not wishing that I had the courage to get up and say something. I'm going to stand up and say what's on my heart. Yeah? That's going to start popcorning out here, I'm hoping. So much so, I won't even have to preach anymore. Everybody else will be taught. So, let me see. Do I mean 1 John chapter 2. So, we're going to the back, more toward the back, after Peter, the epistle of John. 1 John chapter 2. There's this thing about walking. And this is something, you can hear this, I can hear this, and I can nod my head, and this is what I want, and I can go out of here and not do anything about it. Oh, well, there's a couple football games on today, and I can get all wrapped up in that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Or I hope I keep my spirit, my ears open and listening and being sensitive and you know, doing what God wants me to do, that I'm there, right? But it says this, in because no matter what we're doing, we can still abide in Christ. You can be doing a layup in basketball, and you can still be abiding in Christ. Listen to what it says here in verse 6. He that says he abides, remember from John 15, right? We have to abide in Him if we're going to be His disciple. He says that he that says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk even as he has walked. Talking about Jesus. We are, you know, there's the phrase, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this case? Yeah, I guess we should ask ourselves that, shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. What is the right thing to do? Okay, last thing. Matthew chapter 6. I said last thing to perk you up.
Yeah.
Oh, he's on the last scripture now. Yes.
Think it, the whole service, Matthew 6.
Matthew 6.
Yeah.
Listen to this, okay? Matthew chapter 6. I was just amazed at the beginning of the service and the what people said, the scriptures that were chosen, the songs that were sung, and how they connected. I'm going, oh my goodness gracious. All right, Matthew chapter 6. And here's what it says. I'm going to start in verse 19. Here's what it says. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt or thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now I'm going to stop right there and say this. To move in the strength of the Lord and the power of His might, we have to have invested. To get treasure, you invest. When you invest your time in the Lord, when you invest in turning away from the things of this life, to take time to read the Word of God, to pray to the Lord, to pray for other people, to take of your possessions and give to other people, this is treasure, and there's an investment. Now, if I invest, this is important, if I invest today, do I expect a 100-fold return this afternoon? No. People want an instant return for doing the godly things. Or you need an answer from God, and so you pray, and then you want something back. You know what happens? We need a life. Weeks, months, years of investing in God, and boy, there's a return that comes back. Isn't there? So it's a process, and God rewards us even in short little pieces. But the big investment, the return of that's going to come when He decides that it's time for that. But if we want to move in the strength of God, we need to invest in God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jen has something.
Jen. Okay.
So it's funny because this is reminding me of, I had this disagreement with a former pastor. He used to always ridicule giving people these like little mini message, like devotionals that like you'd look for what scripture for anger or, it's like a fix it,
right.
For your ailments, your struggles.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until recently that God, and through this week and through this service and everything, I mean, like 3/4 of the scripture that were said, what Melinda said, were all in things I studied this week. And what God's giving me is the fact that we're fixers. Even when we search out those scriptures to address our struggles, we're still trying to fix it in our own right. We may be using scripture to try and do it, but that's not what it takes. The closer I've abided in Christ and learned how He loves and been able to share in those moments where He puts people in my path and I'm able to love them in the way that they need, that He's showing me, it's in those moments of strengthening my relationship with Him that all of a sudden He's healed things in me that I was so searching to heal out of those little bugs before that I finally got it.
Yes.
Or starting.
It's all about investment.
Yeah. And it that is. Abiding has been over and over. I've been studying this book, Secrets of Divine, for teens. And yet it's been helping me more than anything. And it just, talking about your fruitfulness, like you said, we can abide with Him partially, and then we have partial fruit. We have minimal fruit.
That's right.
But the more that we abide in Him, and the more that we just seek Him, not for fixing certain things or, hey, God, help me fix this. No, just seek His face. Seek time with Him. Just seek, even if it starts in devotionals.
Yes.
He is going to, and then you realize the fruit He's putting in front of you. I mean, we were at a get-together last night, and this woman that I never knew had a problem with me finally confessed. It's been 4 years since I called her. She was my daughter's soccer coach. And I called and I said, I'm sorry, but my daughter won't be at the game today. because she was disrespectful to her stepfather. So this is her consequence. That woman was angry at me for at least 4 years because she didn't understand. She was like, well, Fred doesn't care. Why would he care? And who is she to keep her from my game? Because I need her. She's one of my better players. You know, and it just, instead of me being upset with this woman, I thank God for the healing that I didn't even know needed healing.
Yeah, right. Didn't even know.
And something that I morally felt was right, it just saddened my heart that someone couldn't understand, but I was just grateful for the healing. The ability to be able to have that peace.
Yeah. I think sometimes we're looking for a reward when he's the reward.
He's the reward.
He's the reward.
He is the reward.
And then no matter what else happens.
Yeah.
That's on top of it. That's great. Yeah.
You have this peace.
Yeah.
You know, talking about that, there's a lot of people like sports and stuff here, and it's like, yeah, and you're a coach. It's like,
yeah.
How all the players there, how do you expect to win if you don't have any skin in the game?
Right.
I mean, it's a desire you've got to put out.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the investment. You put your skin in the game, then it means something to you, and you're going to get a lot. You will get a lot out of it.
That's right.
Right? It means more at the end. I'm going to read two more verses. I'm going to read verse 24, and this is what it says. No man can serve two masters. We can't serve God, and we can't serve something else. Can we? Or else we will hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, I want then the last scripture that I had that I wanted to end this message with is verse 33. Did somebody read this one?
Yeah.
I think somebody did. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Wow. You want to talk about the strength, being strong in the Lord for the battle that's here, it's in your life, in my life. To be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We need to be people that are seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. To be abiding in him. To be connected with the body of Christ. Yeah? To understand that it's we step out in faith in him, not with our weaknesses. God uses our weaknesses. But we focus on weakness and we allow that to stop us from speaking, from doing. And it's all up here. The enemy throws the barbs. But we can destroy that work, can't we? Taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So Lord, I pray today that this message will go out from today inside people's hearts, out into the community, not just for today, Lord, but that all of us here, myself, everybody here, would say to you, even right now as I speak, that, Lord, make this real in my heart. Make it something that I walk in, that I'm desperate for. Lord God, that we would be people that would be the salt of the earth, the light, your light in this dark world. Lord God, help us. Help us to shake ourselves from the darkness of our own thinking and habits and lifestyles and attitudes, Lord. Help us to be
like you. We are in you, a new creature. So Lord, we want to be walking as new people in Christ, renewed minds, loving hearts, givers, hearers, compassionate, firm, powerful of spirit, because it's you. Not afraid of our weaknesses, that we'd have courage. Oh God. Not for ourselves, Lord, but for a dark world. Transform us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I forgot when you were doing the announcement. I want to let everybody know that Scott and Andrew Burnside